Okay, we all say Haneris Halalu. Haneris Halalu Anachnu Madlikin, right? Or Anu Madlikin, we light. Al Anisim, Al Anithlos, Al Chulos, Al Mochamos, Shasisla, Al Zinabim, Mahemas, Manazah, Aideko Anacha Kedoshim, Mechol Shmonis, Mechanaka, Haneris Halalu Kodeshim. They're Kodesh, Inlan Roshul Slishtameshbem. We're not allowed to use them. El Rosen Bovad, we can only see them, not use them. Kedei Lahodos, Lahalel, Shimcha, Agadol, Anisach, Veshua, Sach, Veanifloosach, so that we can thank and praise your great holy name on your miracles, and depending on your minhag to say it at the very end. Does it make any sense to you? The whole thing of Hanukkah, all of Hanukkah, we never celebrate victories at war. There has never been a celebration of a victory that we've had at war. We defeated Egypt, but we're not celebrating Pesach because of the defeat of Egypt. Celebrate Egypt, but we celebrate Pesach because HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed us. We celebrate Sukkot, according to the Rokeach, it's because of our war against Sichon and Og. But we celebrate Sukkot because of the concept of the Anani HaKavod. Shavuot is obviously Matan Torah. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is no shaykhus to this. Right? There's no idea behind this. We defeated Egypt. We defeated Amalek. We defeated Sichon. We defeated Og. We defeated the 31 kings of Canaan. We defeated Cush and Rishathaim. We defeated Eglon, the king of Moab. We defeated Sisera and Yavin. We defeated the Midianim. We defeated Ammon. We defeated the Pelishim in many, many different wars. Right? And forget about what happened by David HaMelech in Syria and all the things that they took over during that time. Right? Forget all of that. Shlomo HaMelech took over the entire world. There was no holiday to celebrate the fact that he was in charge of the whole world. Shlomo HaMelech defeated Ashmedai, king of the demons. We don't have a holiday celebrating the fact that he took over all of the demons. There's no celebration. Now, all of a sudden, we get up and we fight the Syrian Greeks. And we didn't even win the war. We won a battle. We got the Beis HaMikdash back. And this is what we're celebrating? We got the Beis HaMikdash back for maybe 100 years after that. Maybe 100. It's probably even less, because Hadrian really destroyed the Beis HaMikdash not too long after this and then rebuilt it. This Beis HaMikdash that we won in the times of the Hashmonaim was maybe there for 30 years. At the most, 30 years, if that. What are we celebrating? Why are we celebrating this? And why is it only this war over any other war? You can't say this is the only spiritual war that we fought where HaKadosh Baruch Hu fought for us. It's not true. We fought many spiritual wars. The war against Amalek was a spiritual war. It was a Ruchni war. You can't say it was a physical war that we fought against, and therefore we're celebrating the physical war. We fought many physical wars. The 31 kings were physical wars. And we fought and we won. So what are we celebrating? And then the oil. Let's say that we can get around the fact that a miracle happened in the war and that we were able to win the war and we're celebrating Hanukkah because of that. But this oil, this happened every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. Every single day, there was a Ner Maravi. Some say there were two lights that remained constantly lit more than what their oil should have done. It was an ace. It was a miracle. That wasn't the only miracle. There are 10 miracles that happen constantly in the Beis HaMikdash. 10 of them that were always there. There is no holiday celebrating the fact that we didn't have any flies on the meat that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no holiday saying, let's take all the flies and destroy them to remind us of the flies not going near the meat in the Beis HaMikdash itself. There's no holiday celebrating the cloud of smoke that went straight up to Shemayim, saying, let's celebrate the cloud of smoke by making clouds of smoke and letting them go up to Shemayim and saying that should be our holiday. We don't do such things. So what is this? What are we doing here? Because one time, oil ended up lasting for 8 days. It might not have even been tahor oil, it was tamei oil. What are we doing? Why is this entire concept of Hanukkah here? And in fact, there's a maisa that's brought down in Tinus and Chaf Heyom and Aleph with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's daughter puts in vinegar instead of oil. And it's an even bigger miracle, because not only is it not oil, but it's vinegar, which shouldn't have lit at all. And he said, Biti, ma'ichbat lach, what do you care? Yavel, the one who says that oil should light, should go ahead and allow the vinegar to light. And the vinegar lit that night and the next day, and they made Havdalah. The Nair that they used for Havdalah was the light that was lit through the vinegar. What? I don't understand. If it's something that's so obvious, it should have been, this miracle was less than what happened to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa had an awesome nace happen to him. There's no celebration of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. We don't celebrate what Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa did. We don't throw flames onto vinegar every Motzei Shabbos to remind us of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's miracle. Why is Hanukkah any different? It's not like we need an excuse to not say Tachanun. This can't be it. There has to be something more to it, and there's something different. So the Marashal brings in his chuvos, it's Pei-Hei. And then after lighting the first candle, once the flame begins to go up, the minig is to say the words Haneris Alalu. The halacha is that we start saying it. You don't say it before, you don't say it after you do it. You do it after the first flame goes up. Once it goes up on its own, then when you start going on, that's the minute to sing the song, and you sing it while you light the other candles or while other people in the house are lighting their candles. You sing an Haneris Alalu when it goes through. This minig is really has made it throughout most of Klal Yisrael, almost without exception. Sfardim do it as well, not all Sfardim. Temanim are, depends on which Temani you ask, right? Ashkenazim, it's pretty much throughout, right? The song is different. It's weird in different places. But nonetheless, you still have it. Why is Haneris Alalu so important, and why did that make it through? And most Tzur is big. That's a different machlokes, because that's a question what you bring through. So Haneris Alalu is brought for the first time in Meseches Sofrim. It's in Perek Chof Halacha Vav. And there, in Meseches Sofrim, it says that after saying Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, it actually says Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, right? After that, before saying Shechianu and Sheasanisim, I realize it's out of order, he says you do Lahadlik Ner, and before you get to Shechianu and then Sheasanisim, right in between the brachos, you say Haneris Alalu. That's when you're supposed to say Haneris Alalu. It's brought by the Mordechai, it's brought by the Rosh and Shabbos in the second parak. It's brought by the Abu Dharam, the Hagos Maimini, and it's brought by the Tur and Tafrei Shayin Vav, who says it was the minhag of the Maharam Rutenberg, as well as his father, the Rush, that the Rush used to do as well. So the Haneris Alalu is an old minhag, a minhag atika. Depending on when Meseches Sofrim was written, depending on that, we're talking at least 1,000 years, possibly 1,600 years, when this minhag of Haneris Alalu is bring down. The Rambam does not bring it, which is why most Timanim do not say Haneris Alalu, because it's not brought by the Rambam. As I said, it is brought by the Hagos Maimonides, but it is brought by almost everybody else. Shulchan Aruch brings it down in Tafrei Shayin Vav, Sif Dalet, to say Haneris Alalu. And the Aruch HaShulchan, brings down, not only does he say to say Haneris Alalu, but he says it's required for Pirsumei Nisa, that a person has to say what he's doing and why he's doing it. Since it pretty much says everything you need to know. They're not there for seeing. They're not there for, I'm sorry, the opposite. They're not there for using. They're there for seeing. They're there to praise God. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, and not only the Aruch HaShulchan, but the Mincha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he brings down in Chelek Beis Siman Yud Daled, that if a person lights his candles and doesn't say Haneris Alalu, meaning he doesn't think about why he's lighting the candles, he just does whatever it is he wants to do and he doesn't think anything of it, he just goes ahead and does it, it could be, he says, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah. Because it's not about lighting the candles. It's about being Mefarsim, the Nisim. And that's that. Now, this is even stranger. If the Nisim are Nisim of the little oil that could, and the Nis of the people fighting a guerrilla warfare and defeating the Yavanim, the Syrian Greeks, which was not a huge army. Not a huge army. We're not talking about the Greeks, the Syrian Greeks, which was a smaller army once they had been divided up, right? When they had fought against them, they were big, but to say it was a huge army, it seems strange. What are these miracles? And again, according to the Aruch HaShulchan and according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you don't do this, you're missing the entire point. So what are we doing here? So it's clear that these lights are there to be makdish. Not only them, the whole concept of Hanukkah for a higher purpose. The lights are not there just to be a birthday cake so that everybody remembers and we can blow out the candles together and everybody has a whole party and we can have a zecher together. It's awesome that we can make something out of it, but it's not the point of what the candles are there for. We're being makdish these candles, so to speak, toward a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not hektish. Chas v'shalom to say such a thing. If you made it hektish, you wouldn't be able to take them afterward. You wouldn't be able to use even a bit of the oil. If the light would go out, you wouldn't be able to use it at all. So it's not hektish. But it's using it for a holier purpose. To say, we have lights. And we have amazing lights that light up the night for us, that allow the darkness to be shown. We get the idea of what lights are for. These lights are not for that. It's not for us, so to speak. It's to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that so that we see Him in this world. We're using these lights to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Using candles to be Mechapis B'ner, to be machapes for where a Kadosh Baruch Hu can be found at a time when the darkness is almost complete. At a time when it's so late, early in the day and late into the morning, that night is just, so to speak, taking over. Certainly there were unbelievable miracles happening here. But Chazal found something. It's the only time that these miracles were occurring at a time of year when everything else was dark, when everything else seemed bad, when things seemed as bleak as they were. Their celebration of finding this miracle and fighting this war and winning this war, or these battles of this war, was all about celebrating that even when things seemed so bleak and it looked like we weren't going anywhere, and even the Jews were against us, the Misyavnim were heavily, I say armed more than the Chashmonaim were. But even when the Jews are against us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to win this war. I've said it before, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said that he heard from the Chafetz Chaim that had he been younger during the times when the Bolshevik Revolution was starting in Russia, he would have taken Bachram. He would have grabbed 30, 40, 100 Bachram out of the yeshivos and fought the Russians. And he would have won. It would have been a modern day Hanukkah. Chafetz Chaim said, I couldn't do it. He wanted someone else to do it. And no one else stepped up. I don't blame them. It's an unbelievable level to get to be able to think that that's going to happen to you. To see Hashem's hand in the dark. Seeing and believing that Hashem was there, even when you think he doesn't care, and you think there's nothing that's going to happen, even then. There's a Chidush Yarim in the beginning of this week's Parsha in Miketz. Miketz means at the end, the Sof, at the very end of the 2 years. According to the Chidush Yarim, Yosef HaTzadik was sitting, languishing in jail for 12 years. It's been 12 years since he had been thrown in jail for nothing. At the age of 18 to the age of 30, the best years of his life, when he's ready to do something, when he wants to go out there and be someone, and from 18 to 30, he's sitting in a pit, in a lime pit with nothing inside there, being fed gruel and whatever else is coming down, hanging out with the worst criminals in all of Mitzrayim. He's sitting down there for 12 years of his life. And according to Chiddush HaRim, that night was Rosh Hashanah. He gave up. He said, he davened his Shemona Esrei. He gave his tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm done. I'm out. I no longer want any of this. I'm no longer connected. I feel nothing anymore. I want to go back. I'm going to pretend to be an Egyptian. I'm going to get myself out of jail. I'm no longer Yosef. He was done. Done, says the Chiddush HaRim. And the next morning, we know what happens. Paro has a dream that night. And before he can follow through on his plan, he's woken up and thrown into the kingdom, gets a haircut, gets new clothing, thrown in front of Paro and says, translate the dream. Before he can follow through, he had decided, I'm out. Because he was done. He didn't act on it yet. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled him out literally last second. When Yosef is gone, pulls him out and takes him out of the worst point of his life and brings him in front of Paro. That's the concept of what Hanukkah is, and that's why Parshas Miketz always falls out during Hanukkah. It's always connected to Hanukkah. Because the story of what happened to Yosef, being forgotten and lost and feeling like nobody's with them, is the story of what happened to us on Hanukkah. Because that's really what we're celebrating, really what we're thanking Hashem for. For all the wars that He fights for us every day. For everything He does for us. We sit down in front of the Hanukkah list. We look at the fire. We say to ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does all the great things, and I'm happy for it. I'm happy that He's with me. I'm happy that we can daven. I'm happy that we have a connection to Him that other people don't have. I'm happy to have this warmth even in the freezing cold Chicago winters. I'm happy for everything I could have. There's no question a person can see this Chag and think to himself, we won a war. Yes, let's celebrate. There's no question that a person can think to himself, a miracle happened. Let's celebrate. But even Chazal at the time couldn't celebrate. Lashono HaAcheres. It was the next year, says the Gemara in Shabbos and Chav Beis, when they celebrated Hanukkah. It took them a year to decide that this miracle and the winning of this battle was enough to make a Hanukkah out of it, to make a Chag out of it. When they felt the hug, when they felt a year later that the hug was still there, they felt that connection. They didn't just put on tefillin and then throw it away a couple months later. When they felt it was still there, knowing Hashem was on their side, knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them, when the enemy is too strong, when they couldn't handle it, when they felt that even then, that's when they celebrated. That's when they understood, this is what we're celebrating about. Now, the remembrance, the reminder is the Hallel, is the fact that we say Al Anisim, is the fact that we light this candle. That's the reminder of the things that happen at that time. But it's all about finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the darkness. It's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us the ability to see Him when it seems like everything else is so bleak. And to look at the candle, to say to yourself, I don't even know how fire works. I don't even know about the three colors of fire, or why there are three colors of fire. Why does it have to point upward and yearn toward the heavens, so to speak? I don't even get the natural existence of fire. Why is it that flint or timber has the ability to make sparks to allow for some type of flame to emit from within them? How does that work? Electricity is a miracle. Fluorescents are a miracle. LEDs are miracles. And we don't recognize them. It's time to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kiss and hug that He gives us in the dark, even if we don't feel like it's really there. This Hanukkah should spread out to so many other things. I've given this example before. What do you think it was like for the people who were in the Midbar for 40 years, who ate the mun for 40 years, to finally come into Eretz Canaan and say, so what do you guys eat? We have mun, what do you guys eat? And they said, you see that stalk over there? So we take the stalk, and we take the top of it, and we knock it down, and we crush it into a fine powder. And we take that powder, and we mix it in with water. We throw in a little bit of mold. And then afterward, we make it into a pasty dough. We throw it inside an oven. We let it sit for 18, 20 minutes. And out comes a beautiful thing of bread. It's a miracle. It doesn't make any sense. Who thought of that? Who's the first person to do it? See, we look at mun as being miraculous, but bread is normal. That's what happens when you have wheat and water and you put it inside an oven. That's the norm. That's what you expect. But even that expectation is strange. Why does this happen? So let's turn it up a little bit. Hanukkah is the time to realize what these miracles are, to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu and find Him within the light that you have, to stay home for a little bit, to look at the Hanukkah light, turn your house thermostat up to 108 degrees. Watch people walk outside in the freezing cold and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything there. Haneros Alalu, that we light. The purpose of Haneros Alalu and the reason why we say it is to remind us of the Persume Nisa, of the small miracles, of the little things, so that we appreciate all of the miracles and everything, no matter how big or how small they are. That everything in life is there. And even in a time when we don't expect it, we prioritize this chag. We allow this chag to be there more than anything else. We think to ourselves, Hashem is with us at all times. Hashem is helping us at all times. And we use that to become even greater, to help us along the year, along the rest of the winter's month, when things might look bleak, we have something to build ourselves up to. Let's try to make sure that we do that correctly.